football. It is the people's game. America's unquestioned number one sport.
The Professor, John Clayton.
With the additions on this line, it's better than it was last year. Maybe it's not great, but you can see that there's some positive things going there.
The only man to have a PhD on the NFL.
It's a contract year, and he's having his best year in a contract year. Here's the bad part. Any back that's had 400 carries never really comes back the same.
It's time for a football education.
Your quarterback is going to be solid every year. You know, that's what you need, and that's why you have to pay it.
Class is now in session.
No one man should have all that power. The clock's ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping.
That's right. That's the old school open for the great Professor John Clayton. And he joins us here on Cap and Jay Hood. He works 710 ESPN in Seattle. He's a great journalist. He's always been great to our station. John, good morning. How are you?
Good to be back on the station. It's been a while.
How about that? So yesterday I was working out and I look up and there's Schefter on TV and he says Russell Wilson wants to stay, but his agent tells me four teams: Raiders, Saints, Cowboys, and Chicago Bears. We were like, oh God, we just won the Super Bowl. We're even listed. It was big progress. What do you think's going on there?
Well, his agent is a baseball agent, Mark Rogers, and he just likes to stir things up. And, you know, because Russell's not going to be traded. So it's like, but he always likes to keep his client's name in the news. He's always trying to put pressure on the team, you know, obviously, because each year he's trying to, you know, make them restructure his contract, get him more money, and all those different things. And Russell is frustrated with the fact that, you know, he's had more than 40 sacks a season since 2013. He threw his offensive line under the bus right after the Super Bowl. And, you know, he's got all these different agendas going on, Mark Rogers. But in the end, it's not going to change the equation that Russell Wilson's not going to be traded. He's got a no-trade clause in his contract. If they trade him, the team has to take a $39 million cap hit. And to put that in perspective, since 2013, you know, there's been 13 teams that have had 20.4% of their cap tied up in dead money. And that 39%, $39 million would be dead money. None of those teams made the playoffs. If they trade him, all of a sudden, a team that's been getting better each year, going from 9 wins, 10 wins, now it's 12 last year, division winner, would be back to where they were when Pete Carroll, John Snyder came here in 2010, when they had to start building the team that only missed one playoff. So, you know, they can Mark Rogers can talk a good game, but he's not going to be able to change the equation that Russell Wilson will be here this year.
John, is there any real frustration between Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks as far as improvements with the team?
Yes, there is, but it's one of those things where I think, you know, Russ gets a little bit overbearing as far as that goes. We watched that with Richard Sherman. He kind of did the same thing, but he wants a voice in every acquisition. But the reason he wants the voice is because he wants to get the best team possible to go to the Super Bowl. And so, like, for example, he drove them crazy last year because he kept on pushing to get Antonio Brown. But in the end, they kind of felt what Antonio would be kind of a bad figure in the locker room and could be more problem than good. And so they didn't do anything with him. But there's a strain because, you know, certainly Russell, as he's correct in saying, is hit more than any other quarterback in the league. Now, part of that this past year was on him because, you know, according to Pro Football Focus, you know, 14 of the 47 sacks were directly on him, not the offensive line. And he holds the ball 2.97 seconds, which is fifth most in the league. But, you know, so there's a strain there. And also, you know, he had a two-game stretch where he had 7 turnovers with on his own. And Pete Carroll's big thing is you don't win games when you lose a turnover battle. All right, so he had the 7 turnovers, and so Russ goes into his office, and they're talking about what to do with the offense, what changes to make, and he wanted to pass the ball more. And really, in the first half of the season, they let him pass because it was a let Russ cook theory, because they wanted, you know, Russ wanted to throw the ball more on first down, which he did, because at one point he was like number one in the league as far as percentage of throws on first down, and he wanted a quicker paced offense. They gave him that. But again, a lot of the success was against teams that were bad on defense, Atlanta, Dallas, Minnesota. And so, you know, that happened, and then teams went cover two, cover four, and then he had trouble because now you got seven guys in coverage and not as much as going to be open. And so when he asked for the changes, this is according to The Athletic, and he said, okay, well, what about this? What about that? Pete says, no, going to run the ball more. And so he got frustrated, stormed out of the room and all that stuff. So there's some frustrations, but in the end, it's not going to change the equations. He's not asked for a trade. There's a no-trade clause in his contract. They can't take the cap hit to be able to make a trade. And so they can talk this good game, his people, but in the end, it's not going to make him a non-Seahawk.
So Deshaun Watson says, I want to be traded. And the Texans have gone to the point where they won't even answer phone calls from other teams. The teams are leaving messages on voicemails, and they're going, doesn't matter. He's either playing here or he's not playing anywhere. Then Russell Wilson. Well, we're not asking to be traded, but if you want to talk to teams, those are the four that we'll consider. So do you, a guy who's observed this league for a long time, do you believe those either of those guys will get moved? And why, if they won't, are we seeing guys much more NBA-like now?
Well, because I think now with either social media, publicists, agents, all those different things, you know, you're hearing more of the complaints. I mean, go back to Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron Rodgers wasn't happy about the trade to get Jordan Love, and he was very upset in the standpoint that they didn't do anything to add to the receiving core, add to the tight end core. They gave him nothing, and so you can see particularly the comments that he made right after their playoff loss that it's like, you know, you basically didn't give me anything, and it's like it cost me the chance to go to the Super Bowl. And he takes the criticism, and it's like, well, geez, I'm Aaron Rodgers. I'm a Hall of Fame quarterback, but you've only won one Super Bowl. And so, you know, he gets tired of that stuff. You look down at Teddy Bridgewater down in Carolina. You know, he then all of a sudden gets offered in a trade to go to Detroit for Matthew Stafford, and he comes back, and now he takes all his Panther stuff off of social media. So we're just seeing, you know, more of the quarterbacks and the most important player in the team kind of doing the NBA thing. But how much it changes the equation is not. Like in the case of Deshaun Watson, I mean, the Texans right now are probably the worst run franchise in sports. I mean, they're a complete disaster. He's probably right in asking to get out of there, but they're not going to do anything until they can test his total will. I know he was in yesterday with David Culley, the head coach, and said that he does not want to play there, and he's serious. I mean, everything I hear, I even heard of somebody from last night that said that he will not play for him this year. But now if you're going to be the Texans and you're a bad football team, it's poorly run, you can't do anything until you get to training camp, you get to the start of the regular season. So in the end, they may change their mind then, but not before then.
The professor John Clayton with us here on Cap and Jay Hood. John Clayton from ESPN at Seattle with us here on ESPN 1000. Let's talk a little bit about the Bears. Without Mitchell Trubisky, John, and of course, Nick Foles is still in the mix for the Bears on the roster. What's the best course of action for the Bears if you're Ryan Pace?
Well, right now, I mean, I thought there would be a chance that you know, they would look at Marcus Mariota, but they looked at the contract, and they can see that's not going to work because Marcus right now is making $8.8 million on a year on a two-year deal. But the incentives in his contract, if he ends up playing like 16 games, it's going to be $20 million. What do you think I'd pay $20 million for Marcus Mariota? So that doesn't work. I would think an option that doesn't seem to be discussed is go for Jameis Winston. Because Jameis Winston is likely to re-sign with the New Orleans Saints. They want him back, but it's not going to be for big money. I mean, they can certainly pay more money than the Saints can because the Saints are $64 million over the cap. And as much as they want him back, I mean, he's available. He's a free agent. That can be an option. And then the other option that's going to take about a month to develop would be Sam Darnold because, you know, right now the Jets have to wait to see all the workouts and see how the three workouts go for the top quarterbacks in the draft because the Jets have the second pick in the draft. If they're then sold on either one of the three quarterbacks. I mean, obviously Trevor Lawrence is going to go number one. I think they like Zach Wilson number two, but they've got to see his workout. Once you get past that and you're satisfied with taking a quarterback at number two, then you can trade Sam Darnold.
Why would Russell Wilson put Chicago on the list? I get Dallas, okay, maybe they move on from Dak and they go, we'd rather put the money into that guy. I get the Saints, they've had this great run with Sean Payton and Drew's probably retiring. I can understand the love for John Gruden. He might be a bit overrated, but he is an offensive mind. Why are the Bears on that list?
Well, because again, I mean, the agent's a baseball agent and he doesn't understand very much about the National Football League. And so he puts out of that even hurts. If it's going to be any kind of a trade, it hurts them even more because, you know, you limit it to four teams and, you know, within by March 9th, you know, the Cowboys will know if they have Dak Prescott or not. The Saints, they can't do anything because, again, they're $64 million over the cap, and they've only had three draft choices right now. Then you look at the Raiders, okay, they have some cap difficulties because they're going to have to cut maybe two, three guys on the offensive line and just to get under the cap. But their big needs are on defense. And in the case of Chicago, I mean, Russell did go to Wisconsin, and so I think he can justify, you know, doing the Bears. But all you basically done with the agent is he basically takes the position. If he's going to be traded, he's going to go to four teams. This is just throwing it up. Remember, you have a baseball agent who only has one NFL client. And because of that, and Russell Wilson's his only client, he can't even call any teams. And so it's like, you know, all he can do is go through the media, you know, put the word out as far as what he wants to stir up and do that. It doesn't help Russell. And in many ways, when he came out yesterday with ESPN and gave the four teams, you know, it hurt the equation for Russell more than it helped.
John, what are you hearing about J.J. Watt and destinations for him?
I'd say right now, I mean, he's got 10 teams, 12 teams that are interested in him. You know, I think the main teams right now, Tennessee, because, again, it's Mike Vrabel, 3-4 defense. You know, he's still better in a 3-4 than a 4-3 because he's so good. I mean, you're talking about a Hall of Fame 3-4 defensive end. And, you know, they spent $22.5 million on Vic Beasley and Jadeveon Clowney and didn't even get a single sack out of them. They were the worst sack teams in the league. You know that Green Bay's of interest because it's a 3-4, but they've got cap issues, so I don't think they're going to be able to do anything. Buffalo he's of interest. The Cleveland Browns of interest. You know, the Raiders to a certain degree of interest. But I think in the end, the leading team could be Tennessee just because, again, it's Mike Vrabel. He gets a chance to go back against Houston two times, try to beat them two times a year. Now the question is going to be, can he get the $15 or $16 million at the age of 33 and a cap that's going to be down maybe $18 million? That may be difficult, but he'll go someplace. But I think, you know, Raiders, Buffalo, Cleveland, they're 4-3 teams, and then he has to move inside as opposed to being an outside defensive end.
Hey, man, appreciate all the knowledge. We miss hearing your voice, and thank you for taking time for us.
Hey, anytime.
All the best. There he is, John Clayton, the professor.
Hey, Mom, I'm done with my segment.
Such a great promo. That was one of my favorite SportsCenter commercials of all time. All right, one of our favorites. You Make the Call.
IBM presents You Make the Call.
Harry. That's next.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood.
Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
So Danny always sets up these, you make the call.
You make the call.
All right, Harry.
Enough, Harry. And then we ask you to participate. So Danny's going to set the stage. We need your opinion. Danny, the stage is yours.
Gentlemen.
Morning.
Good to see you guys. Good morning.
Good to see you.
Earlier this week, I got a phone call from my dad, Harry, a.k.a. Sven Zetterman.
Who was it? Who called you?
You make the call.
Harry.
He called me this week and he said to me, hey, you know your baseball cards, football cards, and basketball cards that you left at our house? My parents still live in my childhood home. I went away to college. I took what I needed. I came back. I lived with them for like 3 months till I got a job and I was out of there.
Do you still have a room there?
I do not have a room. They turned my room into an office. Mm-hmm. But I do still have, so my old room had a closet. I do still have some stuff in that old closet. Mm-hmm. And some of that is my baseball cards. And I had a huge collection. Like you, I collected cards when I was little. I had some very valuable ones. Mm-hmm. My dad calls me this week and he says, you know the baseball, football, and basketball cards you left at our house? I'm going to give them to your nephew, Dylan. During the pandemic, he started a little business where he buys and sells sports cards. And he's made quite a nice chunk of change. Since your cards are here, I'm going to give them to Dylan. And I said, wait a minute. Hold on, Dad. Those are my cards. I collected those cards. I'm going to take those cards and give them to my kids one day. If they want to sell them, they can sell them. Otherwise, we'll collect them. And he says, sorry. I already promised them to your nephew. Possession's 9/10 of the law. Those cards are mine, and I'm giving them away. So I ask you, gentlemen, you make the call.
IBM presents You Make the Call.
Are those cards mine, or can he give those to my nephew, Dylan?
Well, it's so funny that Danny's going through this, because I guess Pokemon cards is like a big craze now.
Huge. All cards right now. The pandemic's really started a boom with cards, and Pokemon cards are going for a fortune.
Well, it's back again. It used to be a thing, and now it's back again.
Have you seen the Pokemon app hoodie? It's been out for a few years. My 7-year-old son, Avery, plays it. It's incredible. It gets you right back into Pokemon.
Okay, so Alex, one of our kids, he and his girlfriend live in the city, and he's going to be turning 30 here. He calls and says, hey, I'm coming up to the house next week. I got to grab stuff out of my room. And my wife's response is, what room? She made... That room's a purple guest room. That's a green one. We had two extra bedrooms, and then our room and Brett's room. And she said, you don't have anything in here. He's like, well, I got a box of cards in there. She's like, sorry. All that stuff in the closets now is ours. Same deal. He thought he had a bunch of valuable Pokemon cards. He came up. Turned out he didn't have the good Pokemon cards, but Mindy said, that's ours. Possession is 9/10 of the law. She used Harry Zetterman's line.
So here's the question.
You make the call.
Who's right? Is it Harry Zetterman or is Danny Zetterman correct? That's what it really comes down to, because those are Danny's cards. You know what it is when you're trying to collect cards? I was never the guy that would take a whole set and buy it. I didn't have the money to buy a whole set at a time. Mm-hmm. You just kept going to the White Hen. You just kept going to the Walgreens and just continue to buy packs. Now, sometimes there were a lot of repeats in there, but eventually you were able to build up the entire set.
Correct.
Because that's the whole thing of it. To me, it's cheating when you just get the whole set at one time. Well, that's not card collecting. That's card gathering.
Correct.
It's different. So I would say that Danny's right, because he's the one that had the blood, sweat, and tears to put that all together.
But how long has it been since you've been out of that house?
Oh, my God. I mean, I'm 43 years old. I haven't lived with my parents since I was maybe 23, right home from Topeka, Kansas, looking for work here in Chicago.
So 20 years.
20 years. I mean, they've been in my parents' house. Those cards have been in my parents' house. I started probably collecting at, what, like 8, 9 years old. I mean.
So they've been in that house for 35 years.
30 years. And you know what I did? And tell me if you did this, too, when you collected cards. I mean, if he wanted to sell them, I made it easy. I would organize them by team. So there's like the Chicago teams were always in the front, right. And then it would go alphabetical order. So you'd have, like, if you were dealing with, you know, baseball, you'd have the Angels, and then
the
alphabetical order, all the teams
together.
To the
Blue Jays.
Yeah, magnificent collecting idea.
Okay, hold on a
magnificent.
Second. Hold on. As someone who collects cards and still has a closet full of cards, you know there are numbers on the back of the cards, Danny, right?
Yeah, I didn't do that. I did it by team. Right. You do it your way. I do it my way. Some people organize their CDs in alphabetical order. That's some correct. Do it by genre. You got to do what's best for you in collecting.
Well, so. I would say, Danny, that you are in the right, because that's your collection. I think that Harry, he should have asked, hey, I'm thinking about giving this to your nephew. Do you mind? You just don't just hand it off. You just don't do that.
Although Danny hadn't lived there in 30 or whatever, 25 years.
I know it's not his house. But you just don't hand off property like that. Something of value. That ain't right. What do you think?
You make the call.
You make it, Harry.
So my wife said, if those are valuable Pokemon cards, those are ours.
Wait a minute now.
And Alex is like, no shot. And he came, he went to the storage unit we have. He went through the garage, the attic, every bedroom, closets. And then he pulled them out and he's like, yeah, these aren't the ones. They're not valuable. So, yeah, I think I've got to side with Danny here.
Yes.
Because Danny's the one who put that collection together. Now, if you had said, you know what, I'm going to keep these at your house and maybe one of our relatives wants them, and then your dad said, Dylan, I'm going to give these cards. You had said it was okay. I already promised them. You're kind of screwed. If it just was like a 2x4 in the face, wait, what? Like you've never had any inkling that these were going to go to a relative. I think Danny's in the right here.
Now, see, here's the thing. When I moved out, my mom made sure that all my Sports Illustrates I had from the 80s, she didn't throw them out. She just put them in a box in the garage. Because if you want them, take them, but they're going to get out of the house. But they won't be in my house. They'll be in the garage at the end toward the door. So good luck, right? Because it was taking up too much space.
Right.
I was an avid Sports Illustrated magazine collector.
That was the Bible back then.
Of course.
That and Sporting News.
Of course. So I didn't, but I understood, but she didn't throw them out.
Right.
She understood that there was a value. I'm still coming over to visit. So maybe I just want to go into my old room and just take a look sometimes, you know? So
right.
I just, that's the thing. You just don't give them away, JR.
That's the value of it, is the nostalgia. It takes you back to a specific time and place. Absolutely.
I'm not trying to trade my old Slam magazines written by Scoop Jackson. I'm not doing that.
That was another good read.
Well, I was never going to do that. Kobe on the cover with Sharif Abdul-Rahim and Steve Nash and all that, and that whole class, that draft class.
Right.
Which one of these things is not like the other, right? Kobe just standing there. But Marcus Camby on that same cover, that's valuable.
It is.
So I'm not, but she would never throw them away. She just, hey, they're over here on the side if you want them, but I'm not going to throw them away, but you got to do something with them. You got to get them out of here. So I think that Danny's in the right. What do you think?
312-332-3776.
You make the call.
Is Danny in the right, or is his dad Sven in the right? His name, everyone calls him Harry, but his real name is Sven, which Danny just found out, which is so bizarre. Vic in North Aurora. Hi, Vic.
Good morning, guys. How is everybody doing?
How are you?
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm great. I'm really good. So anyway, okay, Danny is a 43-year-old grown-ass man. I don't understand why his stuff is still at his childhood home. I assume Danny has a very lovely single-family home that he has with his lovely wife and children, correct?
Yeah, I'm sure he does, yes.
Now, why does he have his stuff over still at his parents'? I agree that Danny's dad, Sven, should not give away the cards, but Danny set himself up for this because he still has his stuff over at his house.
Yeah, how come you still do have a bunch of, like, I don't have a childhood, my parents are both gone, but I don't have a childhood home.
I think that kind of lends to the bigger question of why Danny's stuff is still at his parents' house.
Well, I think, but that's obvious. Like, they still live in the house I grew up in, Vic. So I went away to college. Obviously, when I went away to college, that was still my home, so I left stuff there. Then I came back. I lived with them for a little while I got my feet under me and got a job. And then I moved out and had a roommate. At that point, I didn't take everything. Why would I take, you know, all my trading cards and all my worldly possessions into an apartment in Bucktown with another dude roommate? So I left some stuff back. And from there, it just snowballed into me moving somewhere else, till I finally got married and got a house with my wife. I never went back and had to clean it out because they never moved. I just left what was left there.
Okay, get it out. Get anything you value out of that house, and then you won't have this problem. But I think your dad shouldn't have given the cards away.
All right.
So let me ask you a question, Vicky. If Danny shows up there this weekend and says, hey, I'm here to get my cards back, and his dad says, I already gave them to Dylan. Dylan's got them. Does Danny have a right to go to Dylan and go, hey, dude, love you dearly, give me my cards back?
Well, I think Danny should go over there this weekend and get all his stuff that he values out of that house, because then this won't ever come up again. But to deal with this specific problem, boy, that's a good one. Okay, here's a thought. Danny should go over have a lovely little heart-to-heart with Dad, bring a bottle of his favorite beverage of choice, make it a good one, don't be cheap on this, and you need to start schmoozing to get to make the situation right. And I would maybe then, worst case, go to the nephew and say, listen, I know my dad did this, but no, that's two steps forward. Keep it simple. Just talk to Dad, see if you and Savannah can work it out, but bring a really nice bottle of his beverage of choice.
Vic, thank you. Have a great weekend.
I like that.
Yeah, you too, guys. See Take ya. Care.
So here's the other question, Danny, and again.
You make the call.
Sven! So here's what I would say. I would say, Danny, do you have some attachment issues? Does it just feel good when you go over there? It's like, you know what, this is my old room, and those are my cards. I can't see my cards anywhere else. Do you feel that way?
I do. Every time I go there, I feel like a little kid again. It's my child at home. That's not why I left the cards there. I mean, I think Vic's crazy to think that because I'm a 43-year-old man, I couldn't leave some stuff behind. Like, I'm going to schlep those cards with me everywhere I lived from 23 till I moved in with my wife. That just seems like a ridiculous notion.
Might be a little Dr. Phil conversation we could have here. A little you are taking your cards, and you should take them with you and not have attachment issues. maybe a little Dr. Phil McGraw could step in. I mean, there are your cards. Take them with you. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense.
You want to know what my mom did to me? I had every Star Wars figure ever. Everyone, the old school
And her
ones.
Name's Linda?
Linda.
Or did you find out that it was Hans?
No, her name's Linda.
Yeah.
I had every Star Wars figure from back when we were little kids.
Yep.
I left those at the house, too. So I asked her one day, I said, Mom, those Star Wars figures might be valuable. I had almost all of them. Were they
in the box?
They were in, like, a Darth Vader head and a C-3PO head and an R2. Remember that, those cases?
Yep.
I had them all. Mom, where are those? Those are probably valuable. I'd like to look at those. Oh, I gave those away.
Oh.
You gave them away? Well, I actually sold them in a garage sale. Okay.
Oh, God.
So I did lose some stuff leaving it there, and I don't want to lose the cards now.
You had to take them with you and put them in some storage because you don't know. Clearly, Sven wants to get rid of that stuff, so I think you got to do something because he's just trying to shade you on this.
And are you sure they're still there and that he hasn't already given them to Dylan?
I asked my sister, like, if he gave them to my nephew Dylan, he's such a good kid, I would never take it back, like you suggested to Vicky. If Dylan has them now, he's keeping them. But I texted my sister. I said, did Dad give Dylan my cards yet? And she just wrote back, ha, 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 ha. So I don't know really where the cards are.
You got to get over there.
Nobody wants me over because of Corona. It's like, I can't even go.
You got the keys? Can you get in there?
Oh, I have the keys.
Yeah, I would find out when they're going to run an errand, and I would scoot in the house on a recon mission.
If they're sleeping when the lights are out, Danny, when the lights are out, go on in there.
It's nice and dark in this studio now.
6 o'clock in the morning. Just stop in there.
Hoodie, you know my dad. What do you think he would do if there was an intruder in the house?
You'd get a Louisville Slugger upside the head.
Yeah, I would not be coming out looking like I came in.
I came over to visit! Why are you swinging at me? Sven! Sven!
All right, you make the call. 312-332-3776. Plus Russell Wilson, is he going to be a Bear? We got a lot to get to, man. We'll be right back.
You make the call.
Sven.
Cap. J-Hook.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
All right, phone lines are just rolling. We're talking about you make the call.
You make the call.
Harry, we know.
The topic for the day is, so Danny has a bunch of really good trading cards. He organized them as a kid. He's got them in binders. They're protected. And he kept his card collection at his parents. His father, Sven, said... So insane.
His name's Harry.
His name is Sven.
All right. Go
ahead.
You
make the call.
And the amazing thing is Danny's sister said, His sister's name is Debbie, by the way, and she was a champion figure skater.
Would you just come on?
She said to Danny one day, you're not going to believe this, our father's name is not Harry. That's what he goes by, but his real name is Sven.
Okay.
Danny was 42 years old at the time and had, what? Excuse me? Just finding it out.
There's a card angle, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
Sven says to Danny, you know all the cards that were in your old bedroom that's no longer your room? Yeah, I'm giving them to Dylan, your nephew. And Danny's like, the hell you are. Who's right? They've been there for 25 years. Sven says possession is 9/10 of the law, using my wife's line. Let's go to Joshua on the north side. Joshua, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Great show, guys. Thanks. Jared, I know you've been on for a while, but you're a good addition to keep Cap honest from flipping all the time.
He is a great addition to my old night show. I agree.
go ahead.
That's very true. Calling about the car thing, I had the same situation. My parents said, you got to get these out. They didn't threaten to give them to any nephews, but I went there. I have my own place now. And, I agree with Danny. Schlepping them all over the city wouldn't have been fun. But once you got your own place, you got to grab them. But the point is, I grabbed them maybe a year ago and started going through them and looking them up. You know, I had them in those old sleeve protectors and stuff like that. And I only looked up about 15 cards, but I found the ones that I looked up. There was some busts. I think I had Todd Marinovich and Curtis Conway in the sleeves. But I also had Bo Jackson's rookie card and a couple old famous Bears, Denton, a couple of cards like that. And of the 15 I looked up, there's like $11,000 of value in those cards. Looking them up on eBay and other places. So he needs to go get those cards. Because that was, 15 cards out of probably 6,000-7,000 cards.
Whose fault is it? You believe, is it Danny's father or Danny?
It depends if he's been back in Topeka since he has had his own place. If he's been back, then it's Danny's fault. If he hasn't, it's his dad's fault.
How about that?
How about that?
All right, Josh.
All right,
thanks,
Josh. Have a good day, man.
You got to get them out of there, Danny. You got to get those cards out of there.
Yeah, I'd go on a recon mission as soon as they head over to Mariano's to do their grocery shopping. Better hope he doesn't put like a Ring camera in there or something that goes, hold on a second. Honey, Linda, Danny's in the house.
It just becomes a Larry David bit after a while. All of a sudden, just
can you imagine if Danny, how about this? Danny has a box. He's backing his way out the door and from behind, drop the cards. It's Sven.
Oh, God.
Danny, drop the cards. Love you dearly.
Yes.
They're not yours. Those are in my house. It's not your house anymore. Drop the cards.
Oh, no. He said the sheriff. Drop the cards. Raise them high. Drop the guards.
Let's go to...
Beef is what for dinner.
Kevin is in Oak Lawn. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for... First-time caller. Love the show.
Appreciate you, Kevin.
I think Danny's got to take a little accountability for this situation. He put himself in a bad spot here. He said earlier that his mom got rid of Star Wars stuff that was valuable to him. They basically signaled to him that this is something that can happen. We might get rid of your stuff. So that, to me, would have been the red flag that I got to go get those cards as soon as possible.
Right.
And now he's let this wait, and he's now put himself in a situation where these cards could be gone.
All right.
100%. So, thanks, man.
All right, Danny, he's blaming you, saying that there was a virtue signal there.
Yep, the smoke signal went up, and you didn't react.
Our good friends on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, you should always be watching if you can see these two handsome gentlemen. Our friends on Twitch are kind of asking me and blaming me as well, saying, did my dad ever tell me to get my junk out of their house?
Junk.
And the truth is he has often. Like, a few times a year I get the call, you still have stuff here if you ever want to pick it up.
Let me ask you a question. Serious question. Do you have room for that in your home?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have a storage space. I prefer not to schlep more stuff in our storage space and just leave it where it is.
See? A little Dr. Phil action.
Listen, you know me, Hoodie. I can't stand clutter. Like, I'll throw anything and everything out not to have clutter, so I don't want to bring more stuff into my house.
I understand. But there is a Dr. Phil element to this. I'm still attached to your home. You need to get your stuff out of there. There's a disconnect between you and your family, and you need to change. That way you're closer to your family.
Now, what if Harry and Linda move?
Well, then I'll have to. Then I will have to take everything.
Will you let your stuff go to their new home?
No, my dad wouldn't do that, and B, I would never ask them to pack up my stuff and pay the movers and find a place for it in their new house. In that case, I'd go pick everything up. But right now, it's my childhood home. It's in a safe place. I feel like it's fine.
See,
can I ask a question? Did you say he gave it to your nephew? Is that who it was?
Dylan.
Is he the same one who plays golf with your dad now, Danny?
That is true. He does golf once a week with my father.
Curious. How about
that? He's been replaced.
Yeah.
Danny's been replaced.
Yeah. You are no longer, like, favored son.
Oh, no, that's long gone.
Well, but don't you feel a certain way about that? I mean, you've always been the favorite.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, listen.
Is Dylan a Zetterman? What's his last name?
No, his last name is Dan.
Dylan Dan.
Correct.
He may be changing it to Dylan Zetterman.
Maybe.
Listen, check out the new will.
I get the power rankings. I get the power rankings, and I'm not high up on them, probably.
Oh.
Well, you got grandkids. One day you have grandkids, you put them ahead of everything else anyways.
It was fine. This is a nice Dr. Phil CBS 2 thing now. Turn to Springer.
Well, listen, Cap's got four sons, and he has one brand-new grandson. I bet you right now he'll choose the brand-new grandson over those four sons in a heartbeat if I said choose one.
Actually, I'm on top now, pal.
That's okay, it. Besides you, aside from you.
My will says Jonathan Hood.
Sven. All right,
312-332.
Cap's not answering the question. I'm asking you, grandson or four sons?
You make the call.
312-332-3776.
The real answer is haw.
Oh, my God.
Hashtag, you make the call.
Hashtag free haw.
Wait a minute.
All right, we have got locked and loaded lines on You Make the Call. We'll be right back.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000
and the ESPN Chicago app.
So, a great point from a P1 listener. We'll call him Edward Walter Olchek. Wake up, Danny. Who paid for the cards?
That's a bad argument, Edzo, and I'll say this. Nobody knows that Edzo is one. Everybody here knows, but if you don't, he is one of the most generous people there is. Edzo has how many kids, Cap?
Edzo has four, three boys and a daughter.
I'd like to ask Edzo, of all the things he's bought for his four kids over the years, has he ever asked for them back? Once you buy your kid something, and I know this because I have three kids, it is a gift for them. I would never buy my kid a toy or buy my kid clothes and say, well, I paid for that, give it back. Once you present it to them, it's a gift. Edzo knows that. He's not going and asking his daughter for whatever he bought her back.
Debbie Zandra.
Yeah, he's not asking his sons for the hockey skates and sticks he bought them over the years back or to pay them back. That's a weak take from my good man, Edzo.
He said they belong to Sven and Svetlana.
But they were, that's funny. They were a gift to me. A gift.
There you go.
You can't take a gift back.
You know, if Edzo has a bad week at the track, you might ask for some of that stuff.
Exactly.
Back. And I just, you know.
Zandra, my ExpressBet account's really low. Give me back that outfit.
When he throws his skate into his HD TV while he's watching TVG, and he has a couple of bad bets down, you might ask.
There's a Bauer skate sticking out of the big screen. Call Steve Shapiro and ask. We need a new TV.
Never know.
Take that sweater off. I can return that. 312-332-3776.
You make the call.
All right, Harry.
Let's go to, we've got so many of these. How about Jesse in Evanston? Jesse!
Hey, what's up, fellas? Welcome to the show, Hoodie and Cap. It's always a pleasure.
You're the best.
Welcome you to the show, Jesse.
We worked together, Cap, on, what the hell was that TV show? Piece of the Game.
Oh, yeah.
I was the set builder. I built the set for that game.
How about that?
I always like Cap's face on that show because he's always looking like, I can't believe I'm seeing this.
Right.
Your face
is... I remember the first day we got there, Cap showed up and he had forgotten his sport coat. He had to get back in his car and drive all the way back to his house to get his sport coat.
What is the matter with you?
Who knows? I'm insane.
Anyway, here's what I'm thinking. Danny, how old is your nephew?
17.
Okay, so boom, there you go. He knows they're not his cards. You know they're not his cards. Instead of having it be like a every time you see this kid, he's going to go, oh no, there's Danny. Oh no, I have his cards.
And you're no. This isn't between me and this is not between me and him.
Your head that there's my nephew. That jerk stole my cards. So here's what you do. Just go and talk with him and say, listen, bud, those are my cards. I know that this was a mix-up. They were given to you. Why don't we look through them together? It'll be something cool we could do as a team. Whatever money we make, we're going to split. So.
There you go, Danny. There's your solution, kid. Yeah. Jesse, thanks, man. Appreciate you.
You don't want to split the money with him, do you?
I don't want them sold. That's my thing. Listen, this isn't between me and my nephew. I love him. He's a great kid.
Between you and Sven.
This is between my dad giving away my possessions. If he gave them to Dylan, then Dylan can keep them, do with them as he pleases. I'm not going to go to his house and be like, those are mine, give them back. But I don't want to sell them just now.
Dylan, there's someone outside here. He's angry and he's armed.
See, here's
it looks like Danny.
Here's the great thing about Dylan. He doesn't know the old Zetterman like I do. The Zetterman that would have punched you in the face for those cards.
How about the picture that John Greenberg tweeted out yesterday?
Yeah, you don't see that's
Danny
the thing.
Looks like 30 pounds heavier with freaking guns.
Yeah, see, you know, he didn't want to mess with the Zetterman.
What happened to you? That guy was a rock.
See, that guy would have hit him in the face for those cards. I'm just telling, like the Zetterman I knew with the wild hair. Yeah.
Like that picture of you at the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman on the podium, you could easily have sat in for him and looked way more the part of an NFL quarterback than that guy did.
What's that, Dad? You're not going to give me the... that's what it would have happened. Just the snapping.
You guys think I have a temper now. Hoodie knows. Back then,
that would have been tough. But peace and love, Danny, is willing to just talk about it and talk through the issue.
No, this guy, he won't... Danny still will get after it, and this guy will first say to you, with all due respect or in peace and love, and then fire on you. Just blast you.
Yeah, you didn't get that earlier. Like 10 years ago, you weren't getting any
of
that.
He just blasted you.
Yeah.
Tough. Let's go to, how about Ed is in Elmhurst. We'll get to him next. Hey, Ed, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, guys, listen. Danny, you made a big mistake, my friend. I don't know who this Dylan kid is. I don't know who the last guy said saying split it 50-50. Danny, as far as I'm concerned, you're the one. Dylan wasn't there when you were putting those cards in the binder. Your dad and your sister, Debbie, for sure, wasn't there when you were putting them in the binder. They weren't. They're probably making fun of you collecting those cards. So as far as I'm concerned, those are your cards. You got a mission impossible your way back into wherever those cards are. Get those cards, all right? You don't sound like you have the mindset to get those cards back. Oh. So you got to be Ryan Pace, 2017, Mitchell Trubisky, all right, Dylan Patrick Mahomes, I don't care. Your dad, Deshaun Watson, I don't care. I'm taking Mitchell Trubisky. I'm taking the cards back, okay? Dylan might be a good kid, but if those are first-generation Pokemon cards, we're talking $6,000. And Dylan might be a good kid, but $6,000 sounds a lot. What am I saying? Six figures, my boy. Six figures, $100,000.
Yeah, they're going for huge money.
That's $100,000, bro. You got to take those cards for your boss.
All right. Thanks, bro. We appreciate the call.
That voice sounds familiar.
All right. Chris Bryant firing on Theo Epstein? Plus more of your calls on Russell Wilson, and you make the call. All of it in 2 minutes.